When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the dominion of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, some of you know, Abby and I, with the incredible help of Adrian Hoy, are converting a bedroom into a bathroom in our house. And because of this, both of us have gotten swept up more than I would say than usual with noticing other people's bathroom designs and watching HGTV a little bit more, I'll have to say. And I'll have to say, too, being a newbie to this whole construction thing, I never quite expected to get so wrapped and swept up into the world of bathrooms. For example, Abby and I were on a pretty strict budget for this bathroom, but we went to Mountain Water Supply, if any of you know, on Broadway, and we went to go buy two bathroom faucets and a shower kit, which is just the shower head and the handle, temperature handle and all of that. And in my head, I had determined that, you know, we were just on the lookout for a basic faucet and shower head. But after conversation with the gentleman at Mountain Water Supply, that kind of seemed to change, because you see, this faucet has a better quality chrome to it that costs $300. And what you really need is a cool rain head that costs $400. And, well, you don't just need one shower head, you need all kinds of shower heads. And so we left Mountain Water Supply with a quote, thank God, a quote, for $1,500. So after this, we brought this to Adrian Hoy, who takes one look at this quote and says, "No, welcome back to Earth. You don't need to spend that kind of money on a shower head." And he was right. Thank God we didn't. Well, once again, this week, we have a challenging gospel text with Jesus talking to the chief priests and the elders about authority and using an interesting story of two vineyard workers, both promising to go work in the field, but only one actually doing it. This is Jesus sparing no punches and pointedly criticizing the leadership in what they are doing. "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Ouch. One of the things that makes this text hard for me, maybe for you too, is I feel somewhat of a guilt complex when Jesus is calling these priests out. Because let's be honest, I represent the priestly pastor class of our time. Many of us, I think, are on the side of leadership and privilege versus the prostitutes and the tax collecting. And I haven't, truth be told, sold all of my belongings to the poor. I'm not living in a mobile home, touring around doing mission work. I have a full-time job with health insurance, a house with a mortgage, and soon a new bathroom as well. So my question this week is, what is Jesus getting at in this text? And what can his pointed language at the chief priests and at the elders mean for us in places of privilege? I think Jesus' story of the two sons in the vineyard and language in the second section of this text greatly connects with the chief priests and the elders' question on authority in response to Jesus' poking. You see, Jesus is cleverly bringing up an issue, the issue of baptism, that we know, many historians know from historical records, divided many Jewish leaders. It's kind of like what we're seeing a little bit today in the fraying of political parties. There were several issues, such as afterlife, such as baptism, such as fasting, that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the two main leadership groups in ancient Judaism in Jesus' time, came down on very different sides. And it is certainly obvious here in this story that they would much rather not address this issue of baptism. So they do this really weird political dance in order to stay on the good side of the crowd and to keep their power. We don't know. This action of keeping power and staying in their own world gets more and more and more intense until, of course, they get so deep that the only way forward is killing Jesus, is getting rid of him. So it becomes that their world of power and leadership gets so warped by this front of keeping power and leadership that the norms of life become governed by it and not by reality, or even by the values of their own faith tradition. It becomes a world where one actually believes a reality that buying a $2,500 faucet is normal. We have all fronts that we put up, let's face it. And to continue with the house imagery for a second, let me call it curb appeal. We all like curb appeal. We work hard to look like we have it all together, right? Planned for the future, kids going to school, nice and tidy house, being able to go on adventures and live the Montana outdoor lifestyle. Our curb appeal and how we relate to one another is important to us. I know it is for me. And as it turns out, the more monetary resources I think you have, the more you can bury yourself in your own curb appeal. So why do the prostitutes and tax collectors get to God first before the religious elite? Well, I don't think it's simply because the religious elite are just simply wealthy. I think that it goes much, much deeper than that. I think it's because they are so deep and isolated in their curb appeal that all they can think of is the fancy shower heads. The prostitute, on the other hand, has no resources at all, or very little. In fact, she is occupying the lowest rung on the social ladder, the castaway. Her curb appeal is not great. What you see in many ways is what you get. And yet, think about this. The prostitute has so little to lose that her word is probably almost always true. She'll show up to dinner at Jesus' invite. She'll share what she can with others. She'll even try to follow Jesus' example of grace. She is the lowest of the low, but she is able to get out of her front and be authentic. Be the way God created her to be. So for me, this story challenges all of us in being authentic, being what God created us to be. When the call comes from Christ to get our world of curb, to get out of our world of curb appeal, how do we respond? Today we are celebrating the end of a summer-long campaign and raising funds for what has turned out to be a water well project in Cambodia. I've heard from many of you how meaningful this project has been. It all started with someone in our congregation being so moved by images of water in our Lenten soup supper that they decided to make a seed donation to this effort and see where the Spirit would go. And then it took the task of each person in our congregation maybe to give a little bit extra to raise funds, not for one $2,500 water well, but for two. And then we raised $600 on top of that. Truly, this campaign seemed to hit a nerve and to get us a little outside of ourselves. And that's the key, isn't it? Because our world needs us to get out of ourselves. From Puerto Rico to taking a knee in front of the flag during the national anthem, our world needs people to get out of isolation and just recognize one another. So that's what we are celebrating today. Not the money, but the authentic getting out of ourselves. Getting out of our curb appeal. This can be the church at its best, wouldn't you agree? A community reminding and helping one another to be authentic and to love the neighbor in radical ways. Got a thank you note following our Superfund run event just this last spring. This church served as a pancake breakfast site for the runners that went along here. And it was an incredible opportunity to reach out to the kids at Bonner School, many of whom ran a mile for the first time. And this teacher at Bonner School wrote to me. She said, "Thank you so much, our saviors, for your incredible support and display of community leadership. In my own life, sometimes I have felt churches are just buildings, standing isolated from their surroundings. But you are a church that has remembered its community, especially its youth and children. And that has an impact on me, and for that I thank you." That's the message of Jesus. Trying to get out of ourselves, that's the calling. To remember, sometimes in spite of ourselves. We have the courage to continue to remember, to break free of our curb appeal, and to radically be transformed by authentic love and grace for the neighbor. Amen.